to Jeremiah chapter 32 and verse 14. Jeremiah 32:14. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, take this evidences, this evidence of the purchase, both which is sealed, and this evidence which is open, and put them in an earthen vessel, that they may continue many days. Where are we? Jeremiah is in the prison underneath, and it's the last month before Babylon takes Jerusalem. During that time, the people are filled up with diseases and horrible poverty and were completely lack of food. There was hardly any food. Now, in that do, remember this, never ever give up from the way the Lord you do it, however hard it is. If Jeremiah stuck it that day and he didn't have half knowledge that you know, then you need to stick it. You just need to be someone who'll be gracious and kindly with it through all this until someone turned down on you and say things to you. Now, remember this too, that God has a plan in there, and let's see what he's going to say. In Jerusalem then, he's in prison, he's in desert and trouble and dirt and filth and the last stage of a day when the Babylonians are going to take the Jerusalem, killed a lot of people. Now, you think what you're doing with it. The first thing then is be bold about your trouble. Don't give up and just start whinging and whining and say this isn't it. Be bold about it. You see, Jeremiah was plain enough. You look at chapter 32 and verse 2. Then the king of Babylon's army besieged Jerusalem, and Jeremiah the prophet was shut up in the court of the prison, which was in the king of Judah's house. For Zedekiah, king of Judah, had shut him up, saying, wherefore dost thou prophesy and say, thus saith the Lord, behold, I have given thine city into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall take it. Now, the very first thing you've got to face as a Christian is not just the trouble, but that God has told you to do something and you've ended up in a lot of trouble. And unless you do it God's way, you're not going to get out of the trouble. So this man went his trouble. Now, I notice most Christians shut their mouth. I don't just mean what it's talking about in preaching occasionally, but they shut their mouths because with neighbours and friends and relations and those around us, we find it very difficult. That's the point I'm meaning. Now, this Jeremiah didn't shut his mouth. And the reason he didn't shut his mouth was God told him to. And you and I aren't to do it, but if you'll do what God tells you to do, then you'll be able to shut your mouth. And this man shut his mouth. No, he did it very plainly. He spoke out to Zedekiah. Zedekiah was a funny form fellow. He couldn't ever say yes or no to anybody. So he got in a horrible mess. And he got killed in the end. They threw him out and chuck out. It said God would happen to him to put his body out in the dust to be thrown away. the reason could never say yes or no. He just said whatever he wanted. Now, in that man, all the court were divided. Some wanted one way, some another, and all the people were in desperate. And there was right in Jeremiah in the middle of it. Well, now that's what you're in. And I'm saying to you, God told me, Jeremiah, be bold. Now, I want to tell you something else. People have an idea that if you're poor, then God is against you. That isn't a little bit of true. Amen. This man was very, very poor. What was he poor in? Well, I know he came out of Anathoth, his town, and I know there were priests. By the way, he was a poor priest. He wasn't one of the rich priests by it. He wasn't like the priest like Isaiah, who was one of the high and others. Here, this man was a lower priest. Jeremiah was higher. And he'd lost everything. He'd apparently lost all his lands and families. He said everybody that day didn't have money so much. They bought whether they had olive trees and whether they had corn and the rest, and you had to bring it in and you had to keep living by it. That's how life went on with them. Now, this man was very poor. But you look at chapter 32 and verse 8. Well, look at verse 7. Behold, Hanameel, the son of Shallum, thine uncle, shall come unto me, saying, buy thee my field that is in Anathoth, for the right of redemption is thine to buy it. So Hanameel, mine uncle's son, came to me in the court of the prison, according to the word of the Lord, and said unto me, buy my field, I pray thee, that is in Anathoth, which is in the country of Benjamin, for the right of the inheritance is thine, and the redemption is mine, buy it for me. Then I knew that it was of the word of the Lord. Now, don't be afraid to worry about everything was in a mess. Look, a lady I know of, who was a missionary in Nepal with her husband, and then in Tibet as well. And I was speaking to her at times, and I can tell you about that lady. She and her children got a little place out in Wales when they retired, and the husband died. And she had not only last year or so to get a house and go to live elsewhere. She didn't have money much. And when they got to the house, what the man wanted was to buy the house, which was in all sort of, really, they were looking for sorcery and magician and everything. And he said to the man there, he said, I can't do this. What can we do? And this solicitor said, well, you'll have to put the house on order again and start again. You have to pay out for that. So they did. And they were still without. And he said, we prayed, and suddenly, about some weeks ago, a man at Blue offered them a house, £10,000 more than they'd offer from their house. And he gave them that, and that only happened about 8 or 10 months ago. Now, God will take care of you.
Amen.
He took care of it for Jeremiah, and he'll take care for you. Therefore, take no thought saying, what shall I eat, or what shall I drink, or wherewithal shall I be clothed? For he knows everything you're doing, and he can give it to you, and he can give them from the most amazing places. So don't ever forget, Jeremiah was in a horrible mess, and at the same time they wanted him to bring 17 shekels of silver and buy it, this field, from his nephew. Oh, what does he do about that? Now look, I'll tell you something else. When you go into a real bad situation like that with a siege, how do you get the money? Well, only the rich people can get it money. So rich that they'll buy, say, a cut off bit of a bird or something to eat, very little bits, or the feet, and that keeps the family going. They have nothing else, and you have to pay perhaps in gold to get money like that. Now there was Jeremiah in this horrible mess, and the man says 17 silver, that's a lot of money to Jeremiah, you go and buy our land out of it because my nephew wants it. Well, now you think about it. Can you stand up to what God says is happening in your problems? Just think carefully about it. Now, further than that, Jeremiah has very little indeed to pay, and he pays it. Now, the next thing is, you look at our little verse, Jeremiah had to do some business preparation. It was very simple business. You took to the scribe who wrote it down, and you had to sit in front of all the Jews, and they sat outside in the court, and there as they sat down, they had to listen to what he said. And Jeremiah said, I'm going to buy with 17 shekels of silver this money from this paper. Now, you know, they had a paper. You may not have realized that. What they did in those days, you took a paper in two parts, and then you tore it in two. The scribe tore it in two. And then you rolled it up and put on the cloth by it and sent it home. And one day, when they asked, they could each of you give the two pieces of it. So everybody knew it was the real bit, which was put together by tearing it. It fitted exactly. That was the way it was done. We found that in the Elephantine papyri out in Egypt very shortly after the days of Jeremiah. We know that actually happened. That was the way it was done. So Jeremiah did a business-like relationship. Now listen to me. Whatever you do in life, don't just be a fool, but do it with business-like. Do it in a thoughtful way. Do what God to tell you to. If you'd kept all your money and all you've done all these months and years, where would you be? I know some people, because we were missionaries, who were very, very poor. Yet they had money enough, not much at all, but enough. Because they weren't in the drink, they weren't in the smoking, they weren't in the rest of it. They just had a little bit of money. And you know, when the Germans took over, and those ladies were locked up, and they had Moroccan lock soldiers there, the soldiers were so short of food that the ladies used to give him the money. They looked like skin and bone when they came out at the end of the time. But they gave her the money. They could find the money because she never threw away. She never did it wrongly. And the old men used to stand in a cold night and in the dark and in the raining, and he'd call them in to sit with them and sit and give them a cup of tea, because he did it. And he didn't have, he hardly had a penny to do, but he managed it because he did it. Where people buy on their clothing and on their food and on all their special things is what's left wrong. Now, we live like the Lord Jesus. The other people then, do you know what they said to the Lord Jesus? They said, you're gluttons and drinkers, because you always have enough to eat and drink. But that was not true of the Lord Jesus. Now, some people, like John the Baptist, didn't give their money at all. That they just kept it all tight, and they never had anything. They just didn't have any. They had some very rough bits. But not the Lord. He had some, and he used what is some. And even the night before he went on the Last Supper, he went out that night and took out to the poor people and gave it to them. That's how you get the money, by not having it for yourself, but by having one sandals and one straight coat and nothing else. And that is how it went. Now you think back of how much it's spent on us. And God didn't do it that way. Jeremiah did it the other way out. Jeremiah was frugal, careful and straight. Now you see, the real reason is because the people round us needed a bit of a knees up, a bit of a binge, a bit of a spending money. Whereas these people had joined Jesus, and they didn't need to go out to all these other places. They may have had to sit quietly in the night in their room, but they didn't. You know, an old missionary I spoke of used to sit in the night in the evening. And the reason he sat in the evening and wouldn't have a light on or any fire or anything was so that he'd give the money for the missionaries. And that's how he did it. He was a godly old man. And he got the money by the mission. Do you know this way we kept giving out these calendars? They started by a man like that who didn't give a penny anywhere. And every year bought hundreds of these calendars, thousands, and gave them out himself. And himself by very little money, and he did it that way. Now think about it. The more you're spending, the less is like Jeremiah. And now I'll tell you something else. Everything is because of the Lord Jesus. This Jeremiah was a picture of Jesus who was coming. And you are a picture of Jesus who has come. And you are to look like Jesus, not like some old crow scarecrow over your back, and like somebody who's talking all sad and miserable. You have to be a normal being. But you be like Jesus. That is something you've yet got to learn, and I have yet got to learn. The Lord Jesus was one who didn't throw money around. Didn't ever a penny. Didn't anything. All he gave to others. Give it. Give it wholly. That's what Jeremiah was at it. And think about it, because it's real truth. Now, and it's for Jesus there. Now, let's go on with the thing to say. And it's very thing. What was Jeremiah's business? He was a preacher. Is a preacher meant to go out in legal business? Is a preacher meant to go out and get involved with all the business and all the work and earn his money? My friend, God gave Jeremiah, he was a preacher, and I'm sure plenty of people disliked Jeremiah. Jeremiah was hated. Poor man, he really had a dreadful time off them. But he didn't like that at all. This Jeremiah was just a preacher who gave his money that he had. And that's how he did it. Oh, I think he was a marvellous man in some ways. And he was God. But he was that because he was already looking to Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before us endured the cross, despising the shame, who was set in the right hand of God. Do you see you're up to Jesus? And do you see that I was sent to the Lord Jesus and you were sent to the Lord Jesus afterwards? We all go to him. We go to him. We're all looking to him. And everything one day, all all of us is going to be given to him. And he's going to say, what did we do with our money? He's not like that. He doesn't say anything, but you'll know. One look of his eyelid and you'll low and you'll cry at the thought of what you've done. Just one word. Peter went out and wept bitterly, and you'll weep over the things you've done over Jesus. You think, I know you'll be forgiven them and you'll be full of joy, but you'll be cry over those things. You'll be sorry you've lost. Now don't be lost like this man. He was that way round. You be good that way. I'm not suggesting now another thing, that this preacher of theirs then looked like a horrible old scarecrow, or like some long black person walking around. I don't mean black by skin, but black by clothes, just walking around all the time and everything has to show him. But they knew he was a preacher, he couldn't help it. And we know we're a preacher, we know what God gives us, we aren't afraid of it. But at the same time, you remember, never any, well, show it to people and let them think what they're going to show about so you get a good word out of it. They say, oh, he does a good man. He's red dressed up as a priest or a bishop or something. Don't you ever be like that. Just be yourself and ordinary. That's what Jeremiah did. And he went out with them anyway and did it. Now, there's another thing which is very important here. And that is this. The money that Jeremiah spent, do you know what they used to do? When they'd tear up the scroll and then they'd take half of it in a little bit of paper and put it there ready, and the other half was for Jeremiah or Hanameel, whoever they were, took it. Well, when Jeremiah did this, he did it in a perfectly good fashion. He never said, oh well, I'm like Fox. Fox was the man who started the Quakers. But his trouble was that he wouldn't ever do anything normal. Everything had to be extraordinary about Fox, and the result was he all ended up Fox, and look how the Quakers have ended up that way. They got nowhere. They got into this strange way. Whatever you do, other people will follow you. And if the other people follow you, they'll get worse, or one way or another, than you. Just keep straight down the straight. And now I don't mean like the world means, keeping it straight down. Like Jesus. Amen. Like Jesus. That's just how we do. And this is man had it going. So there it is. And he put it all in a clay seal. Now look at verse 15. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, houses and fields and vineyards shall be possessed again in this land. Jeremiah never gave up hope. They call him a Jeremiad, but it wasn't like that. He was a most marvellous man. He never gave up hope. Everybody else would give up hope. Their sunken faces, their gaunt limbs, they were dying, and all this horrible people were coming in to crash into his town and steal it all and to kill him, but not Jeremiah. Jeremiah went quietly through it, and then the soldiers came and took him off and putting him in chains just with anybody else, and he was in trouble. And then somebody, people stole it and insisted on dragging him down to Egypt instead of helping him. And the poor man in Egypt, we believe he died there, these wicked men. But don't you worry about it. God has one answer from Jeremiah. He's going to be a new land. Now, I know people in this town making a lot of fuss about having a new land for our new, I don't know, Europe and England or whatever they want. I take no notice of it. There may be a new land, there may not. I don't care. What I do care is there shall be a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Right. And I look for that. Oh. Up there, above all this, I shall go to him, one day to him, and I'll be quit with it. And that's what I long for. But I go in the business of this world, in all it says, without fooling about it. It's wonderful that God did it. Well now, when you've done that then, there's something, last thing, and I'll be with you. Look at my chapter, and it says, verse 32 and verse 16. Now when I delivered the evidence of the purchase unto Baruch the son of Neriah, he was a friend of his who did it, I prayed unto the Lord, saying. Now, Jeremiah didn't leave it there that he made his business. He prayed. And what's the trouble with the whole of our land is they're not praying about it. And it doesn't just mean walking up the down. It means night and day and night. We've got people praying. Do you know, I'm talking to an old lady one day and she said to me, well, when I'm going down to feed my hens, I pray to her all the time. She's out there talking to the prayer, I pray to them. And she said, I prayed for years that the people would come for Beeston in Nottinghamshire, to our little town, and said, I pray that the boys would come and the girls and tell the boys and girls about the Lord Jesus. And she said, suddenly they came. She said they were sent through. And she, I knew the people who were sent there. They were there and they did wonderful work for those people. And many of the children found out the Lord Jesus. Now do you see what I mean? You pray. Amen. And this praying really works. Now let's see the way this man when prayed it. Well, the first thing is, if you look at verse 17, he said, Our Lord God, behold, thou hast made me heaven and earth by the great power and stretched out arms. There is nothing too hard for me. Thou showest loving kindness unto thousands and recompense the iniquity of the fathers unto the bosom of the children after them. The great and mighty God, the Lord of hosts is his name. Great in counsel and mighty in work, for thine eyes are open upon all thy ways of the sons of men, to give everyone according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. So then, that man set out and he blessed God. Right in his misery, people, everything, you pray. You see, one of the difficulties of us is we get, and especially when we get older, that we get very grubbed by it and very different, but we need to pray. And to show that we're happy and show that we know God's in charge. Great God, mighty, and we pray that. Not about all the terrible things, but about the wonderful things that God is doing. God's going to put down his own fields and vineyards. God's going to send the Lord Jesus. All that's what he's at. And that's what the man's praying about. And then he thanks about his special goodness to him. Look at verse 20, which has set signs and wonders in the land of Egypt. That was when they got the children of Israel out of Egypt, even unto this day unto Israel, and among other men, and has made thee a name as at this day, and has brought forth thy people Israel out of the land of Egypt, with sign and with wonders, and with a strong hand, and with a stretched out arm, and with great terror, and has given them this land which thou didst swear to their fathers to give them, a land of flowing with milk and honey. So you can see, and it came to pass in verse 23, and possessed it. So they were given it. God gave it to them. Now, God gave you the past, and God will give you the future.
Right.
Now, the next thing is the confession and distresses. You look at verse 23. But they obeyed not the voice, neither walked in the laws, for they had done nothing at all that thou commandest them to do. Therefore thou hast caused all this evil to come upon me. Behold the mounts, that's the people taking the city, and they have come in unto the city to take it, and the city is given into the hand of the Chaldeans, and that fight against it because of the sword and the famine and the pestilence, and what thou hast spoken so to come to pass, and behold thou seest it, and thou hast said unto me, O Lord God, buy thee fields for me money and take witnesses, and for the city to give into the hand of the Chaldeans. So there they are. Now, he said, I'll answer you. Behold, then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, Behold, I am the Lord, and God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Therefore, thus saith the Lord, Behold, I'll give this city into the hand of the Chaldeans, and into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and he shall take it. And the Chaldeans shall fight against this city, and come and set fire on this city, and burn it with their houses and their women, for they have offered the incense unto Baal, and poured drink and unto offerings unto other gods, and provoke unto me to anger. But he goes on with all that horrible mess, but God is looking after them. Now I close there, but don't forget, God hasn't given up. God is with you. You're a wonderful God, and you're Jesus Christ his own. Amen.
Amen.